When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, my friends, welcome, welcome to our PMP exam study group. Such a pleasure to see you folks here today. Always nice to hear your voices. We are going into a high-level overview of the PMP exam. Lots of you have already been in class with me, so you know that the exam is broken into people, process, and business. I like keeping it very simple because the exam has so many moving parts. Whenever you feel distracted or disoriented, ask yourself, am I good with people? If the answer is no, start with people. Get good with people. Then go to process. Then go to business. The PMI used to charge $39 for this document called the PMP exam content outline, but now it's free. It's the compass for anyone taking the exam for you to understand what to read. Okay, so it's broken down into people, process, and business. People, 42% of the exam. Most of you guys and girls in oil and gas that I've worked with in your individual firm, you're good with people, right? I don't find a whole lot of people failing the people domain. Where I find a lot of problems is the process domain, and that's 50%. So you want to look to process very heavily. And then business. And then remember, the exam is half agile and hybrid and half predictive. So the people domain, high level, very quick run through. I'm not going to spend much time here, but it's just a reminder. You got to manage conflict, lead a team, support team performance, empower team members and stakeholders, ensure team members and stakeholders are adequately trained, and build a team. This first six, to do well on this, you got to know your Hersey-Blanchard model. Can I get a yes if you remember the Hersey-Blanchard model very well? Just put a one in the chat. If the answer is yeah, give me a one. If I don't see any ones that I know that no one remembers, the Hersey-Blanchard model. I don't see any ones. Well, in your immersion book, the Hersey-Blanchard model is covered in chapter, let's see. It's not chapter one. I believe it's chapter six. Let's see. Is it chapter six, build a team?
I see it in chapter two in the immersion book.
Oh, thank you. Chapter two. There we go. Oh, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I was supposed to know this.
There we go, page 48. So you got to know, when I say know it, you got to realize the PMI doesn't want you to be a draconian leader, beating people over the head, you know, or directing. No, they want you to be able to either direct or coach or support or delegate. You got to understand that. That's number one. The other thing you need to know to do well on this is just the styles of managing conflict. Does anyone remember the TKI model or the five approaches for conflict resolution?
Avoid or withdraw.
Good.
Collaborate.
Good.
Escalate.
Good. Escalate is for
accept.
Risk. Accept. That's for risk. We're getting them mixed up. So for the TKI model, who knows what page it's on? Let's see. It's here as well, probably in the first chapter. So this is on page 25, okay? Page 25 of the immersion book, as usual. Page 25, we have this image, this colorful image, right? So we have force or direct, collaborate or problem solve, compromise or reconcile, avoid or withdraw, accommodate or smooth. So you do need to know that as well. What about the five stages of team development, Tuckman's ladder? You remember that?
Yeah, forming, storming.
Norming.
Forming and adjourning.
Very good, you got it. So all that stuff, you also need to have that in mind. Do you remember a term that I used in the course? Roy also used this in some of the videos. When everybody wants to agree and not disagree to a fault. You remember hypernorming? You remember that? we don't want to be guilty of hypernomen, because if you're in hypernomen, it means everyone is in agreement to a fault. They don't want to be honest. They don't want to be transparent. They don't want to rock the boat. So we don't want to be like that. So as far as the exam is concerned, there is nothing wrong with constructive conflict, right? If the conflict moves the team forward, there's nothing wrong, which is why you are a facilitator. So that's verse 6. Let's go to the next ones very quickly. Let's maximize it. All right, number 7, address and remove impediments, obstacles, and blockers for the team. Negotiate project agreements, collaborate with stakeholders, build a shared understanding, engage and support virtual teams, define team ground rules, and mentor relevant stakeholders. And lastly, promote team performance through the application of EI. So these other 7, you could summarize them in emotional intelligence. For all of this, you got to be an active listener. You got to be mindful of people. You got to have a team charter, team contract, social contract, team agreement, all the same thing. This is where ground rules live. And you got to be able to relate with people. That's really what the people domain is about. Let's go to process. Process domain. Execute the project with urgency required to deliver business value. We've talked about this previously. The reason why we do this is we want to make sure that we capitalize on the market availability for us. Like, you're new to market. You got to be urgent in how you execute. You don't have all day. Imagine Apple coming tardy to the party in 2024 with a smartphone. It's all over. It's already, you know, people are already killing the game. So you got to move with urgency. You also want to move with urgency so your customer can begin realizing value. So it's not just about you. It's also about them. Manage communications. It's a no-brainer. That's what the project manager does 70 to 90% of the time. Assess and manage risks. You got to know the 7 things PMI recommends here, right? For those, my friends, who have mastered page 25 or the 49 processes, do you remember all your processes for risk? Let's go through them one by one. The very first one is what? Plan.
Identify risk.
So what's before identify risk? The very first one. The one PMI always puts first. Plan.
Integration.
So you plan risk management first. Remember, you get a risk management plan, then you identify risk. What happens after identify risk?
Qualitative risk analysis.
Beautiful. What happens after quantitative? Then what?
Risk response.
Beautiful. You folks remember. I am very impressed. Well done. You plan your risk responses. Do you remember the 5 responses for positive risks?
A-team?
So A-team is for negative, but what's for positive?
Easy.
Let's see. Easy, enhance. Very good. What's accept. The E?
Enhance.
Enhance, that's a good one. Uh-huh.
Accept.
Accept, good.
There is another escalate in this one as well, right?
Yes, there's escalate, very good. Escalate, uh-huh. What's the S?
Share.
Very good. Share. And the last E?
Exploit.
Beautiful. Exploit. You folks remember this stuff. All right. I love it. Let's talk about the negative. What are the negative responses?
Yeah, it's accept.
A-team, right?
A-team. Good. Accept is the first one. Good.
Transfer.
Transfer, good.
Escalate.
Avoid.
Avoid, nice.
Monitor.
Mitigate.
Mitigate, very good. So which one of these takes the risk probability or impact to 0?
Avoid.
Avoid, very good. Which of these does not do anything necessarily about the risk? Instead, someone else is responsible for it, but it's still there.
Transfer,
very good. Which of these has a mechanism of putting money aside but not doing anything?
Accept.
Very good.
Passive in something else, right? Active and passive.
Say that again.
There is acceptance passive and active, right?
So this acceptance, we have two types of acceptance. Which one are you talking about?
No, yeah, that doesn't talk about there's passive and active,
Passive.
right?
Yes, passive and active. Good. All right. And which one of these is there's a risk on my project, but I don't have enough power to deal with it?
Escalate.
Good. Which one of these is there's a risk on my project? There's a risk I realized on my project, but it's actually beyond my project. It's for the entire firm. So I can't deal with it. What would you do? You find a risk, it pertains to the
Escalate.
entire organization. Escalate. Very good. So there's two times you escalate. One, if it affects your project, but you don't have enough power to deal with it, or it affects a wider scope, like a program or a business unit or an entire organization. Very good. You folks remember this stuff. All right. So we've talked about plan risk management, identify risks, perform quantitative. We've talked about plan risk responses. Implement risk responses is where you're doing what?
Execute.
Very good. You're executing on those response ideas. And that's why the progress is like that, right? And the final one, what is the final one?
Monitor response.
Beautiful. Monitor risk. So the PMI say it's monitor and not control. Do you know why? Why don't they say control risk?
It's difficult to control. Some are not in your authority to control it. Some you have to.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yes. You can't control every, I mean, there's some risk you might feel you can, but generally speaking, you cannot control uncertainty. Very good. So I'm very happy you got task three down. Task four is engage stakeholders. Task five is plan and manage budget and resources. Task six, plan and manage schedule. Task seven, plan and manage quality of products or deliverables. All of these, just remember, they all have their root in the 49 processes as well. So when I say plan and manage schedule, I'm coming in here thinking, oh, you folks remember, you got to plan schedule management, you got to define activities, sequence activities, estimate activity duration, develop schedule, control schedule. I'm coming in thinking you folks remember. That's why I keep saying that table. When you know the table, it's like a roadmap. It just helps you stay on the straight and narrow. So you don't feel, oh, I don't know anything for this exam. No, you feel confident. So that's one of the reasons why I really need you to know that table of the 49 processes, because coming in here just directs you to the same thing. Plan and manage scope, integrate project planning activities. Who can tell me some of the baselines in project management and plans that you remember? What are the baselines?
Schedule baseline and cost baseline. Scope.
Good. Okay.
Schedule.
So do you remember the mnemonic for the 10 knowledge areas? I saw six Cubans quietly rolling cigars, really puffing smoke. So what I need you guys to do and girls to do is I need you to be able to compartmentalize all of the plans in your head so that you know what these plans do. So from integration, we have the project management plan, which is really a collection of all these other things, baselines and plans. In scope, we have a scope baseline. In schedule, we have a schedule baseline. In cost, we have a cost baseline. Remember that, right? And then remember, we have plans for all of these. Tell me the plans we have from scope. Who remembers?
Management plan, scope management plan.
Scope management plan, good. Which other one?
Create WBS.
So create WBS will give you your WBS, which is part of your scope baseline, right? You have your WBS here. You have your WBS dictionary and you have your project scope statement. But I'm asking for a second plan that begins with letter R. Who remembers? Does anyone remember the requirements management plan?
Not only one.
Yeah,
Collect
requirements.
Yeah, requirements management plan. But your requirements management plan is from plan scope management. So you got to remember that collecting requirements is different from planning how to collect requirements. You have your quality management plan, resource management plan, communications management plan, risk management plan, procurement management plan, and stakeholder engagement plan. So these are things that once they are anchored as base, you don't feel uneasy during the week. Because I know some of you are like, oh, I can't remember anything. If only you took time out to remember that page 25, your 49 processes, the baselines, the plans, the A team, the easy, all those things, they're there to help give you confidence, and help keep you grounded. All right, manage project changes, plan and manage procurements. We're getting to the ones Gabriel wanted us to go in on, so we'll go in on this one a little bit more. Manage project artifacts. So there's a couple of things here that I piggybacked on just before we got in here. The artifacts are really your baselines and plans in predictive, which is why you do need to know this. If you're thinking about artifacts for this exam, it is not just the product backlog, sprint backlog, the increment. That's for the world of Agile. Also, in the world of Agile, we have things that are not in Scrum, like your burn-up chart, burn-down chart. Yeah. But here for predictive, all the things on this screen right now, they could be termed as artifacts. Okay? So when you look at the task and it says manage project artifacts, number one, determine the requirements, what, when, where, who, etc., for managing the project artifacts. Some organizations, you have a configuration management plan that guides you on how to manage those artifacts. So under integration, we have a configuration management plan. The configuration management plan is how are we going to manage artifacts like drawings? How are we going to version control our drawings? How are we going to version control widgets or even sub-deliverables? Or maybe the configuration for bolts, if you're using screws and bolts of different thread diameters, all of that is governed by some sort of configuration management. So don't forget this plan. It's talked about a lot in project management. Then we have a change management plan, which is different. The change management plan is really how changes will be executed on the project, going through the change control board, the process for change, the reviews, and all of that. So these two, if you haven't read them, I want you to take some time out to just look for them, search for them, do a Google search, or better still, go on YouTube and just type in configuration management plan, change management plan, Praiseon, and it will come up with a video about 11 minutes where I'm just covering nothing but the configuration management plan, change management plan. It's not as though it's huge on the exam, but it's just good to remember that these plans help you with task 12. Okay, if I have enough time, I'll look for the exact link. But going to the second enabler, validate that the project information is kept up to date. That's version control. So that's more like the configuration management stuff I was talking about. You got to follow the plan and make sure that all of your team members are doing the same thing. And make sure that the information is up to date and available to stakeholders. Third bullet here, continually assess the effectiveness of the management of the project artifacts. So if your project artifact update method is not working or the artifacts are not well maintained, you got to improve. So for all of these tasks, in the back of your mind, you should always be doing the plan, do, check, act, the PDCA cycle, more or less. Let's plan to do this task. Then you do it. Is it working? You check, and then you act to correct it if not. So that's pretty much it as far as this one is concerned. But I'm going to go a little bit further to make sure I've answered any questions that stem from that. So let me go to a longer, let me go to a different breakdown, just as a reminder. So I've pretty much talked about the world of predictive. For the world of agile, I like using Scrum because it's very easy for us to relate to, having been through the training. Right, so in the world of Scrum, we have the 3-5-3 configuration, 3 roles, 5 ceremonies, 3 artifacts. And the artifacts, product backlog, sprint backlog. Don't forget, the PSI is also an artifact. Even in the world of predictive, our deliverable is also looked at as an artifact. Okay? So don't forget that piece. Any questions about this? Gabriel, is this helping?
Yeah, and what you mentioned about the configuration management plan, change management plan, it was exactly probably what I struggled a little bit when they answered the exam. But yes, thanks, man.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I will endeavor to find that link before we get off the call so that I can share that with you. It's there on YouTube. Actually, if you just Google configuration management, change management, Prezion, it should come up with that video. But I'll look for it as we proceed. All right. Okay, let's see. Oh, you sent something in here. Let's see what this is.
No, it was just like some screenshots that I took earlier today about that. So
that's very nice of you to share that. So it says, and is this from Pembok 6?
Yes, I believe the one, I believe both are. Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Yes.
So configuration management plan, a component of the project management plan that describes how to identify and account for project artifacts under configuration control and how to record and report changes to them. You got it. And then the change management plan, a component of the project management plan that establishes the change control board, documents the extent of its authority. This is a very good one to share with our friends on the screen. Let me
That's
see.
What got me kind of mixed, it was the end part of the configuration management plan where it say in report change to them. So the question that I was answering, it was about that. And then I kind of mix it with the change, you know, but yes.
Yeah, so let's take a look. So the key words, it's a very good point. The key word to note in this, come back. The key thing to note about the configuration management plan definition is this word, items recorded and updated and consistent and operative, because configuration is not just about documents, it's also about, as we can see here, product, right? And then over here we use the word component quite a lot, and these components, like I said, it could be drawings, it could be widgets, it could be bolts, it could be other sub artifacts. And then they use the word configuration control. This is just governance, really. It boils down to governance and updates and version control. Version control is really big in this domain. Wherever you hear version control, that's for configuration management. You know that change management is not about the version control. So that helps you distinguish between the two. All right, good stuff. Well, let's see if there's anything else. Go back to our content outline. All right. And that was task 12. Task 13, determine appropriate project methodology. Let me make it a little bit bigger. Appropriate project methodology, methods, and practices. So you got to know when to be predictive, when to be agile, when to be hybrid. Does anyone remember when you should choose an agile approach versus a predictive? If someone was to ask you, which model would you use to demonstrate agility versus to use agile or to use predictive, what model would you refer to?
I believe predictive is more to the less changes and one delivery. Like simplifying agile, you have multiple deliveries and a lot of changes.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yes, I am glad you remember that. Awesome. So does anyone remember what page that is in the Agile Practice Guide? Has anyone gone that far? Because Gabriel's bringing up a very good point. Do you want us to take a look? Let me show you. Let me bring up that page, because that page is often neglected by people who have not opened the Agile Practice Guide. This is on page, I believe it's page 19 or 18, page 18. Let's take a look real quick. Here we go. Okay.
19.
So if you don't have, yeah, it's on page 18 and 19. 18 is a table, 19 is like the image. So over here we have predictive, iterative, incremental, and agile. You got to know that predictive is the one that has fixed requirements. All the other ones are dynamic. Predictive is a one-time delivery, single delivery. Iterative is a single delivery, believe it or not, right? Because in iterative, you're just repeating till correct. Repeat the prototype. Don't release it. Repeat the prototype. Do it until correct. When it's correct, then you deliver. Incremental, frequent smaller deliveries. The activities are just one-time per iteration. That is the difference between agile and incremental. One time per iteration for incremental, one and done. Agile, repeat till correct. So there's that difference going on as well. Let's go to the next page. Next page here in the Agile Practice Guide shows the continuum of life cycles, going back to Gable's point. So if you have a high frequency of delivery, you want to be agile or incremental. Low frequency of delivery on the y-axis, you want to be predictive or iterative. If you have a low degree of change, and of course, predictive is the one with low degrees of change, right? Incremental has lower degrees of change compared to agile. Iterative, high degree of change. So you get changes, but you're not releasing. So you got to understand the balance of these four variables. Once you understand that and you come in here, then this task 13 becomes easier. All right, let's go to task 14, the other one that Gabriel wanted some explanations on. So task 14, establish project governance structure. So I always tell people, you got to have a definition of governance, whether you look it up on the web or whether you read PMI's definition. Whatever the case, there are certain things as a PMP student you should have your definition for. One of them is governance. Another one is benefits. Another one is value, because they're all kind of nebulous. So you got to have definitions. And governance, PMI just says, governance is the framework within which authority is exercised. So it gives you a method to the madness of authority in an organization, on a project. When you have a governance structure, you know what you are able to do. You know where your authority begins and where it ends. You know what is expected of you. So all we're saying in task 14 is, on the project, have some governance. So determine the appropriate governance for a project, replicate organizational governance, maybe what the project manager is expected to do, can do, cannot do, what a team member can or cannot do. And then define escalation path and thresholds. How do I know this is beyond my power? How do I know that this is beyond my authority? And what is the path to escalate it to whoever it needs to be escalated to? So if one has done a good job at the organizational level, at the departmental level, becomes easier here at the project level. Okay, let's take a look at some of the enablers for this governance idea. And I'll also share a little bit from a buddy, Roy, so that you can hear his perspectives to governance. Let's go there. Governance. Okay, I'll share the audio in a little bit, but here's the slide first. So those are your two enablers, and here's my buddy Roy. Let's listen to him. So let me see if you can hear him.
Yeah, absolutely. And governance.
Did you hear that?
Yep,
I was. Cool. All right. So let me go ahead and play our buddy Roy.
Yeah, absolutely. And governance exists, obviously, in the Agile space as well. It's not a bad thing. We need to have governance. We need to make sure we're following good policies and practices and standards and keeping the organization out of trouble. And that's really what governance is about. Now, we do want to make sure that it's not draconian governance. It's not carrots and sticks and things like that. It's more, how do we enable our teams to be able to do these, to follow these standards, making sure the teams understand the standards. And that's also a difference as well, is that we tend to do governance less as a review and more of a mentoring education exercise. So those governance activities will happen early to make sure the team fully understands them and they know why it's important to follow them. And that way the need for a review is far less necessary. The reason we do that is it's cheaper to do it right the first time than it is to do it twice. So we want to make sure that we get those things well known and understood at the beginning so that we don't have to go back and do it again, right? That's really our goal. But it exists just like in traditional approaches. That doesn't go away. It's to protect the organization and your customers, right? Back to you, Phil.
All right, good stuff from our buddy Roy. And that's really the summary. Does that kind of make sense, Gabriel? Does that kind of give you some further insights to that one?
Yeah, for sure.
Good. So just remember, governance is a framework to exercise authority. If you don't give people a framework, then a lot of times they're going to go outside of the authority and, just get muddled and confused. All right, we're almost done with process. Let's go in there. We've got number 15, manage project issues. So you got to remember you have an issue log, right? In the world of predictive, but in the world of agile, what do we have? We have an impediment log. Some people use impediment logs in the world of agile. Not everyone. Some people could just take the impediment and put it in their backlog, and that's okay, Depends on how you do things as a team, but be aware that the PMI in past times, they introduced the name impediment log at least 3 years ago. So you might encounter it. All right. Task 16, ensure knowledge transfer for project continuity. So as the project evolves or as people leave, people come and go, you want to make sure knowledge is always being transferred. You don't want to hoard knowledge. You want to share knowledge. You want to make sure everyone is on the same page. As you learn lessons, you want to share that. You want to have retrospectives in the world of Agile. You want to have lessons learned in the world of predictive. Number 17, plan and manage project or phase closure or transitions. Can anyone tell me what you get out of closing a project or phase in PMI's world? Do you know any output from closing the project?
Retrospect.
So that's a technique. So you do use the retrospective and the lessons learned. That's a good one. But beyond that, what is an actual output?
Final report.
Very good. Final report. Yes. Final report is one of the things you get out because it's a final report of how the project went. What else could you potentially get out?
Potentially shippable product.
Lovely. I love it. That's the final product, service, or result transition. So the idea is you will get some sort of product, some sort of output that you'll be able to share. Brilliant. Okay, that's the process domain. And the business domain, this is very straightforward. Number one, you guys know all about this, right? Because you're a very compliant organization that follows OSHA and all those regulations. So you got to be in compliance, whatever the case. Understand the compliance, be in compliance, don't cut corners, or it could be bad. Number two, evaluate and deliver project benefits and value. So what is a benefit? What is value? Well, someone could say a benefit is an advantage worth that the project result offers to the customer. But you could also say value is the net benefit. So benefit has to give some advantage. And value, when you add up all of the advantages, however you want to see them, then you have value. So PMI say value is the net quantifiable benefits that the customer derives. But it's not just quantifiable, to be honest. You can have some benefits that are intangible and therefore hard to quantify. So I just like saying value is the net benefit that a customer gains. Value is in the eye of a beholder. One feature to me might be worth $5. To you, that might be worth $5 million. So it's in the eye of the beholder, but it's important for us as project managers to understand what the customer perceives as value. Number three, evaluate and address the external business environment changes for impact on scope. A good example of this is AI, right? When AI came on the scene through GPT, all the colleges were against it. Now the colleges are the worst. They're charging you $5,000 for a crummy little course that barely teaches you anything on AI or just regurgitates freely available information. Well, that's an example of how you evaluate the external business environment changes, because they're making a killing. A lot of these colleges are making like hundreds of thousands. And I'm not saying every course is not good, but it's very interesting how they were against it. Then all of a sudden they realize, oh, could be a windfall. It's smart. You got to look at what's happening in the environment. You know, this time a couple of years ago, I was not an AI instructor, but now, because of artificial intelligence and my interest, I'd actually started using AI in music, being a music producer, long before I started using it to do other things in business. But when it came on the scene, I immediately gravitated towards it. And that's an example of looking at your business environment. I now have almost 300 students in my AI courses on Udemy. All right, last but not least, we have support organizational change. And this just means look at how the organization is changing. Ask the question, how can my project help in this change? Or how is my project affecting this change? And ask the question, how does a change affect my project? So it goes both ways. Okay, so that's it for the 35 tasks. Seriously, this is it. All you guys need to do, guys and girls, all you need to do is blow out the information. When I say blow out, I mean go in on it, like become a professor of it. Become really solid in each of those tasks. And when you're solid on it, just move to the next one, like do the quizzes. So in the immersion book, as you know, we have quizzes at the end of each task. Do the quizzes. And as Gabriel has been alluding to, Gabriel P, do the people quiz to then clean up all the people. Because at the back of the book, we have the people, process, and business quizzes, right? So do the people quiz. And honestly, the quizzes, they're not easy. So they may rattle you a little bit. One of our alumni who did this, she's a professor, college professor, project management. So her questions are rather angular and unfriendly and a little bit oblique. They shake me, even me. I get shaken up by some of her questions. So we have some of those really, really stern, long, kind of hard to cut through questions for a purpose. We want you to get toughened up and to become resilient for the exam. But go through the people quiz, then do the same thing for process. Go through all the tasks, go through the tiny little quizzes, and then take the big process quiz at the end, and then business. And then when you're done, take the two quizzes. I think Prashant has been very good in working on the mock exams. I think he's done both, right, Prashant? Oh, I know you've done two out of the three. I'm not sure if you've done the third one, but there's two mock exams of 200 questions, 180 questions each. And there's another question bank of, I think, 130, and then all the other tiny little ones. So make sure you do those. As you do those, everything is going to become clearer and clearer. Can I give you a little quiz on the 49 processes? Are you game for that?
Yes, sir.
Nice. All right. Well, we're talking about the tail of the chicken sandwich. It's a funny little quiz that I'm going to give you. All right. So here's my first question for you. What you need to do here is just tell me the process name, okay? So you're a project manager working on the authorization with the sponsor. Which process is that?
Project charter.
Very good. Develop project charter. You are a project manager creating a list of people who can be impacted by the project. What process is that?
Team charter.
Stakeholder management. plan.
So that's the knowledge area, but what is the process called?
Identify stakeholders.
Identify stakeholders, brilliant. Okay, you are compiling all of the different plans on the project into one. What process is that?
Management plan.
Define scope management.
You got it. It's develop project management plan. Good. All right. You are creating a plan for how to manage your scope.
What scope process?
That's the knowledge area. What's the process called?
Scope management plan.
So the scope management plan is the output, but what is the process called? What's the exact name?
Plan scope management.
Thank you. Plan scope management. You got it, Chris. Chris is on the ball. All right. You are visiting your stakeholder to understand further details of the capabilities they are looking for in the product. What process is that? You're knocking on your stakeholder's door. Hey, what are the capabilities
you're looking for? Define scope.
Which manage stakeholder engagement.
Okay, it's a combination of things. Okay, let's narrow it down. You are standing at your stakeholder's door, asking them to help you complete a requirements traceability matrix. Which process is that? You got it. Brilliant. All right. You are creating a project scope statement. Which process is that?
Define scope.
Beautiful. You're creating a work breakdown structure dictionary. What is the process called? I think I heard it. It's create WBS. Brilliant. All right. Would you like a few more questions, or are you tired? Yep. All right.
Get some hard ones, Phil.
Okay. All right. So you are a project manager on a project deciding how accurate your schedule needs to be. Which process is that?
Plan schedule management.
Brilliant. It's plan schedule management. Because I said you're deciding how accurate your schedule needs to be. All right. You're a project manager on a project and you are creating a list of milestones. Which process is that?
Plan schedule.
Say that again?
Is it define schedule or define activities?
You're right. The word is define. It's define activities. You're putting your activities in a logical order of occurrence. Which process is that?
Sequence activities.
Very correct. You are challenging your team members on how long an activity should take. Which process do you think you're in?
Estimate activity duration.
Brilliant. Estimate activity durations. Okay. From this process, you obtain a project calendar that shows you working times on the project. What do you think that is?
Develop scope.
Develop schedule.
So it shows you working time, a project calendar.
Develop schedule.
Baseline.
You got it. Develop schedule. That's the one. So do you see what I'm doing? I'm trying to force you into thinking of that table. I'm trying to get you to see that table, page 25. So I think this is good. We've done a little bit of initiating, a little bit of planning. Let's try and finish off planning for today. So you're working on a project and you're deciding how accurate your cost computations need to be. Which process is that?
Plan cost management.
Very good. Plan cost management. All right. You're calculating how much each task would cost at the task level. What do you think that is? Which process?
Estimate cost.
Brilliant. Estimate cost. All right. You now roll all of those costs into a final total amount. What do you think that is?
Determined budget.
Beautiful. You're following the process. All right. You're deciding which quality standards you need to adhere to. Which process is that?
Plan quality management.
Define quality.
I heard plan quality management. That's correct. Okay, you are deciding how to effectively manage your resources. Which process is that?
Plan resource management.
Plan resource management. Nice. Okay, you're deciding what to communicate, why and when. Which process is that?
Plan communication. Communication plan.
Very good. What's the process called?
Plan communication management.
Very good. It's plan communication management. Okay. You're working with your stakeholder and your team members to identify which risks could impact your project. What's the process called?
Determine risks, define risks.
You're close. What's the correct word? Identify risk. Very good. You're working with your team to calculate probability rating times impact rating. Which process is that?
Define quantitative risks.
Let's do that again. You're calculating probability rating times impact rating on a scale of 1 to 5 for probability, a scale of 1 to 5 for impact. Which process is that?
Qualitative risk analysis.
Which one?
Qualitative.
Very good. It is qualitative because you're just doing it on a scale, right? Let's go to the next one. You're working with your team on multiplying the probability in percent times impact in dollars. Which process is that?
Quantitative. I got missed with the previous one. Yeah.
Very, no, you know, it's all good. I'm glad you're able to see the difference. Very good. Now it's quantitative. Awesome. You folks are doing very well. You remember a lot of this stuff from the training. I'm very happy. You are carrying out the response plans that you said you would. Which process is that? You're carrying out the response plans that you said you would.
Implement risk responses.
Brilliant. This one over here, implement risk responses. Nice. All right. Next question, you are selecting a seller. Which process is that?
Plan procurement.
You're actually selecting them. You selected a seller.
Acquire resources.
So is that
plan procurement management?
So plan procurement management is when you are deciding, do we need additional help? Do we need
an execute procurement plan?
I like the creativity. You're correct in the way you're thinking, but what's the process called?
It's not conduct procurement.
Yeah, it's conduct procurements. That's it. Conduct procurements. So in plan procurement management, you're deciding. You're making a make or buy decision. So if your decision is to buy, in conduct procurement, that is where you send out the RFP, you get the proposals back, and you award the contract. Very good. Okay, your final one. You are working with your stakeholders, communicating with them, and engaging them. Which process is that?
Manage stakeholder engagement.
You got it. Manage stakeholder engagement. All right. Well, that's all I've got for today. You folks have done very well. We'll do the other ones maybe another time. But for now, I'm going to shut it down and hand it over to you guys to do, Prashant, is it chapter 23 or is it chapter 24? Whichever one.
I think we did 22. Can't remember. I remember number 22. And we did took the speech.
Yeah, Prashant wasn't... down paper PDF. So I believe you're right. 22.
So 20. Today's 23, huh? Integrate project planning today. You guys are going really good at a very good pace. Well, well done. Let me go ahead and stop the recording. Appreciate it. For those of you that did not come today, we miss you. We're not going to send you on a guilt trip this week. Maybe next.